them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth..." Am I in the right place? I don't know. Am I in it? Yeah, that's right. I'm looking too many notes on that page. That's the problem. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach, power and wisdom to preach. And I pray, O God, speak to the heart of the hearer. Magnify and exalt thy name. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Sometimes I lose track of where I'm at. My Bible is a mess. Now, 2 weeks ago, I think, or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, I brought you a message entitled, "It's Been a Journey." Then last week I brought you a message entitled, "I'll Not Turn Back," talking about the journey. This week I want to talk to you about the same journey. I want to break your message this week and call, "I'm Going to Enjoy the Trip." Next Sunday, I'm going to bring you a prophetic message on the same thing. So if you like Bible prophecy, you want to be here next Sunday. Okay? Now, this is a prophecy you've probably never heard before, but I'm going to expound it to you in full and in detail, so you don't want to miss it. But this morning, I want to talk to you on this thought. I'm going to enjoy the trip. Now, if you're saved by God's grace, you are on a trip. Matter of fact, if you're alive, you're on a trip. You are engaged in the journey of life. And you may have noticed by now that there's some good and there's some bad. There's some pleasant and some unpleasant. Some things that happen to us that are good that we never expected. There are some bad things that happen to us that we never anticipated. The truth is, you just can't figure life out. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You make all kind of plans and have all kind of expectations, and sometimes your expectations are fulfilled. Sometimes they're more than fulfilled, and then sometimes they never come to pass at all. Matter of fact, it seems like your whole world just collapses on you. If you're trying to figure out and plan for tomorrow, don't waste your time. Be diligent. Occupy till I come. I mean, I understand you have to make some plans, but leave some room in there for some unforeseen and unexpected. Amen? And then when it comes, don't be overly upset or overly distraught. Just figure that's the way things go. Now, the thing to do is you don't have any choice over the trip. You got to make it. And if you're saved, you don't have any choice over that trip either. You have to make it. Amen? And you don't have any choice over the details and all that, but I tell you what, you do have some control over. You can decide right here and right now, you can decide this morning to make the most out of it. You can make up your mind to enjoy the trip. Now, I'm going to heaven. I got saved and I got locked in, and I'm in God's hand and I can't get out, and I've got to go from earth to heaven above, and there's no choice about that. It's not up for debate. I'm going. Now, whether or not I enjoy the trip, whether I make the most out of the trip, whether I gain from the trip and glean good things for the trip is entirely up to me. I can be negative. I can be despondent. I can kick and rebel. I can resist the Holy Spirit. I can make my trip from here to heaven purity hell. Amen. It is, in fact, up to me. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Most people are as happy as they make up their mind to be." And I found that to be true. Life is too short not to have fun. Amen. I like to be around folks that I know they got troubles and they have a time to cry and then they move on. Sadness comes, trouble comes, misfortune comes, and they deal with it and they have their sadness and their sorrow and their despondency, but they don't linger there. They don't live there. They put that behind them and pick up the pieces and they go on and they enjoy the rest of their life. People say, "Oh, I'm never going to be happy again." My soul, I wouldn't want to take that attitude. You say, well, if something really bad happened, if something really bad happened, I will weep and cry and moan and groan and wail and argue that thing through with God, and I'm going to get it behind me. I'm going to pick up the pieces, and by the grace of the living God, I'm going to go on, and I'm going to make the best out of what's left of my trip. Yeah. Amen? I'm going to do that as a Christian. I'm going to do that as a man. So I've made up my mind to certain things. I want to share, 8 or 9 or 10 of these, depending on how much time I have. My message is always like bologna. There's always certain slices you can leave out. Amen. Some sandwiches got thick slice, some got thin. Sometimes you have to put 2 slices on one sandwich, but you can cut it off most anywhere you want to. Amen. I like to go to them old country stores, and you go in and get a pound of bologna, and the guy would sit there and slice it for you, and you say, stop right there. Amen. That's the way a sermon ought to be. That way, if you run over time, you can just skip 2 or 3 points and nobody even notices anything's missing. It just looked like that was the end. Now, I'm going to enjoy the trip. I'm going to glory. I don't know about you. I'm going. Amen. I signed on. I'll be honest with you. I'm looking forward to it. The longer I live in this old world, the more things I go through, the more things I experience, the more trouble and tragedy I see, the more heartbreak I encounter, the more broken lives and broken homes and broken families that I have to deal with, the more wickedness and ungodliness I see in this old world. I'll be honest with you, heaven never looked better. Amen. It's just, the world is just unreal out there. It's just absolutely incredible. Everything that I grew up believing was wrong is now okay. All my life, I was taught certain things just weren't right. God didn't intend it to be that way. And now they're not only socially acceptable, if you're against them or say anything about it, you're the bad guy. Amen? I went from being normal and biblical to being a homophobe. Overnight. Amen. You know, I think it's wrong to run around 9/10 naked. I'm the exception. And if you believe that, you're the exception. The rest of the world thinks you're going to take your clothes off. In the Bible, when somebody gets right with God, they put their clothes on. Amen. That old boy over there in the tombs, he went about naked and all that. And he said when he met Jesus, he came back and he said they found him clothed and in his right mind. You don't take your clothes off when you get right with God. Put them on. Amen. I wonder about a lot of folks, you know. They're supposed to be saved and nothing happened. It's weird to me. Well, the world is enough to make you despondent. It's enough to make you sad. But bless God, I'm on a journey, and I am not going to get bogged down in this present evil world. I'm not going to let its dirt and its slime and its misfortune and its oppressive spirit diminish mine. I've got my eyes set on a goal. I've got my eyes set on a prize. I'm going someplace. I have an objective, and by the grace of God, I'm going to get there, and I am not going to whine and cry all the way. Amen. I'm going to have a good time going to glory. Yeah, you may not enjoy your Christianity. I'm going to enjoy mine. You sit there like an old stump, you know, and look like a mule looking at a new gate and no joy and no happiness and no smile on your face. Help yourself. You want to live that way? Go ahead. I'm not going to be that way. I'm going to find some humor. I'm going to find the good side. I'm going to put a positive spin on it. I'm going to heaven and nothing can stop it. I'm a child of the King. I'm going to end up glorified like the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's enough to make anybody happy under any circumstances. You're not going to steal my joy. I am going to enjoy the trip. So how are you going to do that? Well, number one, if I couldn't find nothing else in this world to get excited about it, if I couldn't find anything in this world to give me joy, I'll tell you what would do it. You say, well, preacher, if you just knew how many troubles I've got and how bad my health is and how my family's messed up and all this, that, and the other, you'd understand why I don't have any joy. No, I wouldn't. My family's all messed up. I got health issues. My wife's got health issues. My friends have health issues. I'm getting older, and I don't feel good most of the time, and this hurts and that hurts. And God knows ever since I turned 50, something's been falling apart almost every day. Amen? My goodness, if you let that bother you, you're going to be a miserable human being. But I'm not going to let that kind of stuff take my joy. I tell you what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to rejoice in my salvation. If I didn't have nothing else, every time this old body hurts, I think I'm getting one like his. I'm getting one like his. I'm going to get me one like his. Amen? We're going to get a body fashioned like unto His glorious body.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to rejoice in my salvation. My sin debt is paid. My future is assured. My home is under construction. I'm over halfway down the trip. Brother Henry and Miss Geraldine just went on an extended sinful vacation. Anything over a week's wicked as hell. I just want you to know that. I believe that. I think I got Bible for that. Amen. Now you made me forget where I was at. What was I talking about? Anybody remember? That's exactly right. Now they went on their trip, and Brother Henry said they woke up the other day up in some Yankee state and said the couple they was with one knows, "Where are we going today?" He said, "York, South Carolina." He'd had all that trip he wanted, amen? But at some point on that trip, he said they went 6,800 miles. Now, if my math is good, that's 3,400 miles one way, 3,400 miles the other way. Pretty close, you know, give or take 1,000 miles. That's the way I do building, you know, plus or minus a quarter inch. Now, at some point, they reached halfway, and after a while, they were no longer going away from home or from their objective. They were, in fact, headed back to it. Amen? Amen. Now, if you travel north to south, you're going to reach the North Pole sometime, or the South Pole, depending on which way you're going, and at some point, you're going to be halfway there. Now, if you travel east to west, that's a never-ending journey. Amen? Because you can travel east forever and ever and ever, because there is no West Pole. You got that, didn't you? Now, someplace in your trip, you're halfway. Well, I'm well over halfway on my trip home. I'm over 50 now. Well over 50. Come to think of it, I'm well over 60. I'm just well over. And I'm well over all over. I want you to know that. I'm up more than halfway home, buddy, and I can look back, and there's more behind me than there is in front of me. Amen? I'm going to be like old Enoch over there. Said Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Somebody said one day, Enoch and God was out walking, and they walked, and they walked, and walked, and the Lord said, "You know, we're getting close on evening. We need to head home." And Enoch looked back, and it was further back to his house than it was home to glory. And God said, "Well, just come on home with me." Amen. I'm over halfway. And one of these days, I'm going to end up in glory, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm going to rejoice in my soul's salvation. This old boy is going home to glory, whether any of y'all believe it or not. Now, I got some folks that really don't think I'm going. I got news for them. I don't think they're going. But if we both show up, I'm going to go, "Nanny, nanny, boo, boo." Amen, buddy. I'm going. I'm on a journey, and I'm headed home, and I'm going to rejoice in it. Every time somebody preaches on salvation, every time somebody preaches on heaven, when every time somebody preaches on that glorified body, when somebody preaches on all the beauty and the angels and the river of life and the 12 manner of fruit and the 12 gates of pearl and all that stuff, well, I get plumb excited. They're talking about where I'm headed. I'm on a journey to that place, and my soul desires to get there. I'm going to rejoice in my soul salvation. I tell you something else. I'm going to revel all along the way. I'm going to revel in a clear conscience. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a defiled conscience or not, but I have. Before I got saved, I was wicked. I've been pretty wicked since I got saved, but I was really wicked before I got saved. My conscience used to bother me. Things I've done, places I went, stuff I said, people I hurt. Amen. Now, buddy, if your conscience didn't bother you, you just wasn't the same kind of sinner I was. I think Lewis is probably in that same boat. I bet he had some conscience issues over the span of his lifetime. But you know what that Bible says? And when I got saved, there's no more conscience of sin. That doesn't mean I don't remember it. I do remember it. But it doesn't condemn me anymore. My conscience is not bad or doesn't hurt me in regard to my sin. Say, why? Because God fixed it. It's all paid for. It's under the blood. I got no more conscience of sin. I can look God right square dead in the face because everything I ever said and everything I ever did is under the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Buddy, I tell you what, if I don't make you happy, there's something wrong with you. You got too high estimation of yourself. You know what a lot of Christians need to do? They need to get wicked. A lot of Christians just need to get really, really wicked. Now, I'm not talking about going out and doing wickedness. What you need to do is pray for God to open your heart and your mind and your understanding so you can see how wicked you are. You need to get an appreciation of your inherent wickedness. Amen. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? But most folks running around these days say, "Oh, I'm a pretty good person. Well, I know I'm not perfect, but I'm better than Tommy Stewart." Well, for crying out loud, son, anybody's better than Tommy Stewart. I mean, pick on the real target. Amen. We don't have any sinners anymore. We don't have anybody that's wicked anymore. I'll tell you what, when I got saved, buddy, I set that table and I cried and my tears ran down my face and made my table wet because I knew what a sinner I was and I knew I deserved to die and go to hell. And God came in and saved me and forgave me and cleaned that conscience up and washed me whiter than snow. I'm here to tell you, son, I'm rejoicing that my conscience is clear and that there is no offense between me and God Almighty. Amen. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace like a river. I like that. Now, I'm going to enjoy my trip. I'm going to enjoy my soul salvation. I'm going to revel in a clear conscience. I'm going to enjoy the fellowship of the saints. Now, some of y'all think I don't like nobody. Some of y'all think that in particular, I don't like you. And that's because in the pulpit, I represent God. And I don't cut you any slack. I don't cut me any slack. I don't cut my family any slack. Out of the pulpit, I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you. Up here, I hope by the grace of God that I'm as bold as a lion and without fear and that nobody intimidates me or slows me down. I want to declare the truth of the Word of God without partiality, regardless of where it goes or who it gets. If it gets you, deal with it. If it gets your family, deal with it. If it gets me, I deal with it. Amen? But down here, I'm just a sinner, just like you. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. On my way to glory, struggling along trying to do the best I can. And I need fellowship from time to time. I need somebody to talk to. I need somebody to share the things of God with. Now listen to me. I can talk to the world all week long about the things of the world. You want to talk about NASCAR? You want to go to the heathen? Look Bruce Stewart up. Love to do that. And you can talk to the world about the things of the world. You want to talk to them about sports, they talk. You want to talk about recreation, they talk. You want to talk about the TV and the game shows, they'll talk. You want to talk about vacations and going. Anything you can think of about this world, you can find somebody to talk to almost any time. But I tell you what, son, you go to them same places and bring up God. And talk about church and the Bible and heaven and living right. You'll be there by yourself. Amen. I don't have any problem finding somebody to talk to about most nearly anything until I want to talk about something spiritual. And when my soul is burdened or when I'm rejoicing in the things of God and I need somebody that wants to hear, I got to call up somebody down to the King James Baptist Church because I'm about the only folks I know that are interested in spiritual things. I can call Brother Lewis up and talk about spiritual things and he'll laugh and pray and cry. And we have a kindred spirit, boy. I mean, everything is wonderful. I love that, don't you? I like having somebody I can call up and say, "Brother, how about praying about somebody? I need the fellowship of the saints." I like having somebody I can say, "Let's go to lunch after church." Okay. And we go to lunch and we talk and chit-chat and we talk about spiritual things. We talk about secular things. Talk about our kids and our sicknesses and our ailments and all that typical stuff, you know. And nobody ever cusses. Nobody's hitting on somebody else's wife. There ain't no shenanigans going on. I don't have to keep my guard up. I don't have to be defensive. I love that. And if I want to say something and say, glory to God, did you know so-and-so? Nobody gets offended. Nobody gets... I enjoy the fellowship of the saints. I like being around God's people so I can talk about the things of God and rejoice in the things of God without feeling like some kind of a freak or a sideshow. We went to a Japanese restaurant last night for my dad's having his 83rd birthday. He's never, ever, 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 ever been to one of the Japanese restaurants where they twirl the knives and bounce the spoons and all that stuff and spin the egg and all that. So we took him. I figured, man lived 83 years old, been cantankerous, he has nobody's killing, he's got it coming. Somebody say amen right there now. So we took him down there. And we got there, they already had two people on this end and two people on that end, and there's only four seats left. Which means we couldn't talk to each other very much. And so we go down there and they do their little thing, you know, and we had the steak and shrimp or whatever it was, and they're cooking all the stuff and they get it on there and they start putting it on our plate. And I said, all right, let's pray. So the four of us bowed our head. Now, there's two heathen on that end and two heathen on this end. And you've seen the way they're dressed, you'd know they're wicked. Especially them women. What is it with this style they got out now where the women have to wear them blouses that are cut down to their belly button? I'm sick and tired of seeing women exposed. They can't bend over. You go someplace and have to do like this. Because if they don't, they fall out. Listen, you're dressed that big, that low, you need to find another style. Amen. That's free. It ain't got nothing to do with the message. Bless God, that's just wicked. Amen. You don't want to tempt men like Lewis and Tommy. They're not strong. Anyway, I said, let's pray. The four of us bowed our head, and them other two's going. And the two down this end are looking at each other. So I just prayed in a hand. Amen. Oh, my soul, they was uncomfortable. I might as well have been speaking Chinese. They didn't know what praying was. And God knows you don't do it out in public with strangers. And who in the world would ever do it loud enough where anybody else could have heard it? Whoa. I'll tell you what. I need the fellowship of the saints because the world ain't ready for us. And if you live, the Bible said, and they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you live for God, if you dress right, talk right, pray when you eat and that kind of stuff, the world is going to think you some kind of weirdo, you some kind of freak. And after a while, buddy, you're going to get hungry and your soul is going to be weary and you're going to need the fellowship of some folks with like mind and like faith. Amen. I'm going to enjoy the fellowship of the saints. I'll tell you something else. I was thinking about this point a minute ago. Matter of fact, when y'all was singing, I had my Bible down there. I was looking at my own to make sure I had this point in this message. Because the way y'all was singing was pathetic. Amen. I tell you something. I'm going to sing with joy the songs of Zion on my way home to glory. Amen. Now, we don't have a good piano player anymore. I mean, I'm nothing personal. But I mean, you know, one of them that can put all them runs and flourishes and all that stuff. But now she's getting there. She's working hard. Amen. But we got that canned music, and I just soon hear Jordan's hear that stuff. Amen. As a matter of fact, I like Jordan better. You just want to know the honest truth. At least she'll smile at you when you tease her. A piano won't smile. I mean, that little plastic thing. But our song service lacks a little. I understand that. But it shouldn't make us mumble. Don't we have the joy, joy, joy of the Lord down in our heart, down in our heart? Amen. I want to sing. I can't carry a tune. I have no musical ability. I have no musical talent. I'm off key and out of time. I don't know how to keep them beats and all that stuff. Ryan says just keep time with your foot there and just count the beats. I can't remember which foot to keep time with. I keep changing. This one, and I miss a beat. I'm never where everybody else is at. But I'm here to tell you something. In my heart, there is a song. In my heart, it has melody. And in my heart, it has lyrics. And I sing it with all of my heart to the glory of God because I am thankful, thankful, thankful in the Almighty God that I'm saved, 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 and I'm on my way to glory. Amen? So I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing as hard as I can. It may be. Boy, y'all ever hear me singing alone? I tell you what, you don't want to hear it. Y'all ought to get in my truck with me sometime. I'm going to Charlotte or Lancaster or someplace, you know, and I got about 30 minutes. I sing. And I'll be quite honest with you. Y'all not going to understand this, I'm sure, but I really enjoy it. I give myself a blessing. Now, I'm really handicapped because I can't remember the lyrics either. And so I usually get one stanza or a half a stanza or the chorus. And I just sing it over and over and I just wear that thing out. But it's, no, don't get disappointed in it because tomorrow I won't remember that I've been on something else. Amen. Somebody will say, you know that song? I said, oh yeah. They say, how's that go? I don't know. Amen. It's always brand new to me. I put the CD thing on, I let it play the same song 25 times, and my wife just gets beside herself because she can learn the words. She knows the music. She said, how many times are you going to listen to that? I said, I just put it on. It played 25 times. I said, oh, I didn't realize. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I like them songs about heaven and glory. Amen. I came in here this morning, wasn't nobody else in here. And so I turned the music on. I may have had it a little louder than some of y'all like. But I was here by myself, so it didn't make any difference. Amen? And I played the bass guitar a while, which I can't play. And then I played the drums for a while, which I can't play. And I just had myself a good old time. And then that front door opened up, and I put everything up and turned it down. But I'm here to tell you, son, I was enjoying the music of God before you got here. Amen? I like that up-tempo stuff. Now, I know them slow songs are good, and you get a blessing out of them, and they speak to your heart. I understand that. I'm wicked, I guess. I just like that stuff that makes my flesh jump. I just like it. I just like it. Somebody said, that's flesh music. That's not music for the soul. Well, I'll be honest with you. I can't get quite in touch with my soul. But I'm always in touch with my flesh. And so if I waited to listen to soul music until I got in touch with my soul, I never would have a song. So I decided to gratify the flesh till the day I die. Amen. I'll tell you something else. On my journey home, I will praise Him in His house. Amen. Now, I tell you, I have Pentecostal leanings. I hate to admit that in a Baptist church. But Pentecostals do some things I really like. Pentecostals can always out-sing Baptists. I've never figured it out. We've got the truth. We've got what they ought to be shouting about. They're doing the shouting. We've got it and can't lose it. They've got it and hope to hang on to it. And they're singing. There's something weird about that, isn't it? I think it's demonic. It's what I think Baptists are just full of the devil. If they weren't, we'd sing like them Pentecostals. Amen. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. We'd get a hold of that thing and we never would quit singing about it. We would just sing and shout and have the time of our life. Amen. But them Pentecostals, man, they'll sing and they'll pat their foot. Now, I know sometimes they get a little carried away, that slain the spirit. We're not going to do all that. But I tell you what, those Baptists are just too dead, 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 dead. We could turn this place into a mortuary most of the time. I'm up here preaching my heart out. I'm sweating and perspiring up here this morning. I'm having a good old time. Some of y'all just sitting there like, well, old fool's at it again. I'm here to tell you, I'm talking about our religion. I'm talking about our Christianity. I'm talking about our journey home. I'm talking about where I'm headed. I'm talking about my Savior. And somebody ought to get excited about it. Amen. Now, y'all get to shouting and saying amen, so it's like saying sick them to a bulldog. You better watch out. I'm going to have a good time, whether you do or not. I like to go to some of them camp meetings and them preacher's fellowship. Them old boys get to shouting and having a good time. Sometimes you can't even hear what the preacher's saying, but that's unless I'm preaching, then they ought to be quiet. Some of them guys get to preach and they say nothing, no way. All you got is a shout. Like that little boy said, these two little boys were talking. One of them said, can your preacher preach? He said, can he preach? He said, why, he can jump that high. He ain't saying nothing, you know, but he got a show. I'm going to praise him in his house. I'm going to come down here and act dead. I was listening to some fellow on the radio coming to church this morning. I'll tell you what, I'm just ready to cuss him out. I was. I'd have used Christian language. I wouldn't have used that street stuff like y'all do. I'd have been Christian about it. But I know that Bible buddy, I could have put a whooping on him. I'll tell you that right now. That old boy was just talking. He was monotone. And he was stammering. And he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he was going to say. He didn't have a clue. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't interested. He wasn't excited. He didn't get a blessing out of himself. In God's name, if you don't get a blessing out of it, if it don't speak to your heart, how in the world can you ever communicate that to somebody else? Amen? When I preach, I want you to know, I want you to understand that I enjoy what I'm doing, I believe what I'm doing, and I would cut off my arm to make all of y'all believe just what I do. I believe y'all need it. That's why I'm preaching it. Amen. I don't want to listen to some guy who got no enthusiasm for what he's doing, that don't believe what he's doing, that didn't prepare for what he's doing. I'm going to come down to God's house and preach and sing and shout. And have a good old time. I see, I run one office morning already. where was I at? Man, I'm having a good time. That's what I do. Church ought to be fun. I mean, it ought to be decent order. Amen. But I tell you what, folks ought to look forward to coming down to the house of God and rejoicing in the things of God and in their salvation and in each other. I'm just sick and tired of folks coming to church and looking. Where are you going there, Mr. Hensley? I'm going to church. It's like you're going down and volunteer a kidney, you know. I'm going down to see Brother Lewis. And me and Brother Lewis, we'll whine and complain about our bosses and our sorry jobs. And we'll talk and thank God for at least we're saved, you know. I come down here, I talk to Brother Henry and he's telling me how far he drove that truck. And I thought, man, ain't nothing on this planet I won't see bad enough to drive 6,800 miles for. I'll tell you that. Henry's lost his mind. But I think he found it. I don't think he's going again. Don't you like to come down and see the people of God and talk about the things of God and forget about the world? I come down, I ain't thinking about no heat and air conditioning this morning. I'm not even thinking about NASCAR. Now, I can still think PGA, but I like coming to church. I like to come down here and have a fun and enjoy each other. I like to get here a little early. My wife gets upset all the time because she loves that prison thing, but she regrets that she can't get here early enough to fellowship. She likes to come down and see God's people and talk to them. Amen? And every Christian ought to do that. We ought to enjoy the things of God in the house of God. Number six, I'm hurrying. I only got 10 minutes and I got 5 points. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rejoice on my journey, right? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rejoice in the fact that I'm going to be able to comfort some along the way. That's a real joy. People say, oh, one of the terrible things about being a pastor or a minister is you have to go and try and comfort the people that are sick, that are dying, or that are dead, or they've had a family tragedy. And there is a great deal of sadness in that. There really is. Nobody wants to go someplace where a family is grieving over a husband or a daddy that's dying and that kind of thing. That's not a pleasant situation. But I'll tell you what is the joy about it. From time to time, you minister to somebody and you honestly feel like you helped them. You helped to carry their load for a little bit. You lightened their burden for a minute. You gave them a little boost to help them along the way so that they could make it through that difficulty and that time of trouble. Amen? And that's a real joy. I want to comfort some along the way. Now, you can't comfort them all. And I've seen people that the honest truth is the situation was such that I didn't know what to say to them to help them. All you could do was pray for them and pray for God to pour His peace out upon them and fill them with strength and give them grace. And I think God did that, and that's a blessing. Amen? And sometimes you talk to folks and you try to comfort them and you say the right things and they're grieving, but somehow the light comes on and it lightens the burden for a moment or two. It helps to get them through the night. It helps to get them through the difficulty. That's a real blessing. I want to enjoy the trip because by the grace of God, I'm going to comfort some. I'm going to help some along the way. And every Christian could do that. You might not stand in the pulpit and be a great pulpiteer like Brother Lewis and myself. But you could be a comfort to somebody. You've got family members. You've got neighbors. You've got co-workers that have problems from time to time. You ought to stay prayed up. Read up on your Bible a little bit. Get you a few verses in there and live so that people got confidence in you. And when they have trouble, they'll come to you and they want to talk to you. Or you see somebody sometime and they've got a heavy look on their face. They're downtrodden. Their spirits are not like they normally are. And you sense that there's trouble in their life. Maybe you could stop by and just talk to them a minute and encourage them a little bit. Give them a little Bible verse or maybe have a word of prayer. You could comfort some. Anybody, any saved person, all of God's youngest can do that. We could all comfort some along the way. I've talked to folks a time or two that was down and out, and in the course of that conversation, changed their whole life. I met a little fellow one time who was on the USS Enterprise, or USS Forrestal. A little short, chunky fella, kind of ugly, he's from Alabama. Everybody from Alabama's ugly. He's sitting down in the corner, and about 2 o'clock in the morning, he had a little New Testament, and he just had his head down. And I saw him, and he looked real sad, and I just walked right by him, because I am not much for sticking my nose in other people's business unless I'm asked. But so somehow the Lord spoke. I turned around and came back down there, and I could see that little boy's heart was breaking. And he was in a little alcove thing there, and I just sat down on the other side of him, and I just sat there and prayed for a few minutes. I didn't even speak to him. About 10 or 15 minutes, we sat there like that. And finally, I said something to him, and I told him I was a preacher, and I'd never seen him before. So he starts telling me his problem, how the guys were giving him a hard time, and he just had a number of issues, and he was a Christian. He was trying to live for God, and they were razzing him and giving him a hard time and just really putting him down. He was really having his hand, and he was sitting there debating whether or not to quit. He just had all he could take. And I reached in my pocket, my little Christian Workers New Testament. I sat there and read him some verses, and we talked for a while. We shared some experiences together. Got that little boy all perked up. He got off that ship, went his way. I met him again 2 or 3 years later. He had just graduated from Good News Bible Institute out of Good News Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And he was headed to Alabama to pastor a little old Baptist church. And that little old boy hugged my neck and cried like a baby. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "I give up." He said, "I was ready to quit." He said, "And God sent you by. Help me." He said, "You talked to me that night and encouraged me, and God lifted my spirits," and said, "I've been on fire in line for God ever since." Boy, that's a blessing. It took about 15, 20 minutes. Didn't cost me a dime. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I thought about that 100 times, and it encourages me. When I say, "Well, ain't nobody listening, nobody cares, I preach my heart out, I work and I pray and I do all I can and I don't see anything happening and nobody's getting saved and folks are still living like the devil and we're just not making any progress," to say, Lord, say, "Remember him?" Sometimes all it takes one shot. If you quit, nobody will get it. You got to stay at it. It's been encouragement to me a lot of times along my journey. Keep on. You never know. You never know who you're preaching to. You never know what it's going to do. I want to comfort some along the way. I'll tell you something else. I want to bring some with me. Amen. I'm going to enjoy that. Well, I ain't led a lot of folks to the Lord in my lifetime, but I've led a few. A couple, 300 maybe. 30 years, that's not many. But a couple 300 wouldn't have got there. Amen. And Lord, let me do it. Lord, let me do it. Started a little old church out there on the four stall one time. It had about 6 or 8 guys coming, and in 6 weeks, we had the place packed out, and it was sitting out in the hallway, couldn't get anybody in the building. Had 58 men get saved in the services, and I don't know how many got saved on that ship. And I've had, over the years, 8 or 10 guys come up in different places at different times. One down in Cuba, 2 up in Virginia Beach, 1 out in Washington State, and say, "Preacher, you don't remember me, do you?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "I got saved under your ministry, been serving God." And he tells me how many years it's been. I got a phone call 2 weeks ago from a man up north, young man, early 20s. And he called me up and he gave me his name. I didn't recognize it. He said, "I'm your church member." I said, "You are?" I said, "What was your name again?" And he told me. And then it dawned on me who it was. I said, "Oh," I said, "I know your mom and daddy." He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, how you doing?" We talked for a few minutes, you know, and I was trying to find out why he called me. I hadn't talked to him in 7 or 8 years. He got his life all messed up. He was on alcohol. He was in rehab. Life all turned upside down. Married a little old girl. They separated, fixing to have a baby. Don't live together anymore. I talked to him a while. We had a word of prayer. I thought, you know, that's strange. When he was a boy and I was trying to deal with him and talk to him, he didn't have any time for it, didn't want to listen. But we witnessed to him anyway and talked to him anyway and got him to church a few times. And I've always got his life messed up. And who does he call? He said, "You're my preacher." I never was his pastor, but I'm the only one he ever had. Made me feel real good. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to help some along the way, and I'm going to take some with me along the way. Amen. I want to see some of them get saved and live for God. Amen. And I'm going to enjoy that. I love it. Every time somebody gets saved, every time somebody comes by and say, "You don't remember me, but over at such and such a place, I got saved while you were preaching. Or you witnessed to me." I got a phone call a week ago. Brother Larry Jacobs up in Virginia Beach, Virginia, calls me every year. He cries like a baby. Brother Jacob's a black fella, finest man you'll ever meet in this world. Called me up and he's crying like a baby. He said, "Preacher," said, "I just want to thank you for leading me to Christ that Sunday morning, getting my wife saved, and getting our children in church." Now, old Jacob's been saved now about 26, 27 years, faithful as the day is long, him and his wife and about half his kids. He calls me up every year just to tell me, "Thank you. Thank you." Oh, Larry's going, "I had something to do with it." What a blessing that is. Amen. I'm going to enjoy the trip. Every time I think about Diane Jacobs and Larry Jacobs and some of them folks up there, I get downright excited. I'd say, why? Because I'm headed to glory and they're coming along. They're coming with me. They're going to be inside the city. And it's because God let me bring them. Now, I got a couple other points here that we're just going to slice off because this is like baloney. Let me say this, though. I'm going to enjoy the trip, and I'm going to enjoy it because I'm going to live today in view of tomorrow. I'm not going to live today like I'm going to be here forever. I'm not going to live today like this is my home. I'm not going to live today like this is my reward. I'm not going to let down my standards. I'm not going to let down my guard. I'm not going to let down my conviction. I'm going to live today because tomorrow I face Him. Amen? See, why is that important? Because when I see Him, and I give an account of what I've done, and I give an account of my journey, and I have to recount where I was and what I did and why I did it and what my motive was and what my intent was and what my purpose was, when I get there and have to give an account for this trip, I don't want to do it with shame. Everybody says, "Oh, when I get home, I want to hear the Lord say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" Does it ever occur to you not everybody's going to hear that? Because not everybody's been a good and faithful servant. Some of them ain't been good, some of them ain't been faithful, and some of them haven't been a servant. Do you know what you got to do to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You must be a good and faithful servant. Because, oh, well, I'm saved and that's all I care about and I'm just going to live and have a good time. I think I can do this and do that and go here and go there and still be right with God. Well, you might still get home to glory, but it's going to be a long time before you hear well done. It's going to be a long time before you get the rewards handed out. I want to live and enjoy my Christianity. I want to enjoy the trip and I want to enjoy it when I get to the end of it. I don't want to get up there and say to the Lord, say, boy, you was a rascal. I gave you opportunity and I gave you years and I gave you time and all you did was this and this and this and you never had a burden for people and you never witnessed to people and you didn't take advantage of the opportunities I gave you. You didn't use the talents I gave you. You played around and messed around in the old world and the world died and going to hell because of Christians like you that didn't do anything. I don't want to hear that. I want to be able to enjoy it along the way. I want to see some folks get right. And I want to see some folks get saved. And when I get home to glory, I want to hear. I really want to hear. But all of my heart, I want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. How do you do that? You live today in view of tomorrow. Let me close with this. I'm going to enjoy the trip. I'm going to do a holy dance when I pass through the gates of pearl. Now, you know us independent fundamental Baptists, we don't believe in dancing. Now, I think it's okay for grandpas and daddies to dance with their little girls. I just think that's sweet. And if that's a sin, I'm going to ask God forgive me for it. Amen. I remember when Chrissy was little, she'd put her little feet on my toes. And we'd put on some Southern gospel record or something. And we'd dance to it. When I move my feet, her feet would move because she's standing on my feet. I love that. I love them young'uns. But us Baptists don't believe you go down to the Possum Holler and shake your booty. Amen. We don't think you go down there and you get belly to belly with somebody else's woman. Or your wife gets belly to belly with some other man. We again all that nonsense. That's wicked as hell. I say something else. I'm against all this praise and dance teams that you see. Baptist churches are having them now. And they got that other where David did dance. And I'm here, let me tell you something. You're talking about a perversion of the scripture. You're talking about a distortion of the truth. What they're doing is an abomination. Let me tell you what David did. David won a battle and he got excited and David jumped up and down and turned round and round. He was just going, woo-hoo-hoo, glory to God, woo! Like, you know, like at a football game. That's all he did. He didn't grab somebody's wife and hug up to him and do the do-si-do. The two-step and the electric slide and all that stuff. That's not the kind of dancing it was. There wasn't any praise team. It wasn't choreographed. There wasn't a band. It was a guy shouting because of his joy in the Lord at the victory that God gave him. Amen. And all these dance and praise teams where the girls take them little thin skirts and hold them out and twirl and their thighs are exposed. God ain't in that. And if you think you're ever going to see that at King James Baptist Church, you're going to die and roast in hell a long time before you ever see that. Amen. And if I ever get that weak, I pray Lewis shoots me in the back of the head and God takes me on home. That ain't what we're about, buddy. But I'm going to dance when I get home to glory. I'm going to dance just like David did. When I walk through them gates of pearl and I step on them streets of gold, this old boy goes, woohoo! Glory to God! Yes! Yes! Hey, man, I'm going to do me a holy dance, lifting up holy hands without wrath. Say, why? I made it! I made it! Thank God I'm at home! And between here and there, I'm going to enjoy the trip. Archie Watkins sings with who? Inspiration Quartet. He used to sing a song entitled Between Here and Sunset. It's talking about God's taking care of us between here and sunset. between here and sunset, I'm going to enjoy the trip. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm sanctified. I'm on my way to glory. I've got Christian friends. I've got family. I want to rejoice. I'm going to enjoy the trip. Now, you can be old sourpuss if you want to. You can be all down in the mouth and despondent and whine and cry. Oh, I've got to do this. And we got. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to have a good time. It may be a long, long journey. It may be over tomorrow. But whether it's long or short, Brother Bob is going to have the time of his life. I'm going to enjoy the journey. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy.